Here's the Matt Devlin of the Toronto Raptors, the play-by-play voice of the Toronto Raptors, the Matt Devlin. Hello, Matt. Or hello, the.
Hello, the Bob and the John. It's great to be on the primetime show.
Shush. How stupid. I mean, do you call it the Air Canada Center or just Air Canada Center?
I think that
you, you don't even know?
No. Typically, I would say the ACC. But I think that, you know, Air Canada Center, I think anyone will work. But, you know, as you well know, Bob, as, you know, the talent that you are, when you have executives like John Shannon, sometimes they ask you to move the out of it, and they like to add in a little this or a little bit of that. And that's what John's used to. He's used to sitting in the big chair with the suit on.
Yeah, telling, those days are over.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
See, he's the antithesis of the normal executive. Most executives failed at something else, and that's why they became executives.
Yes.
John failed as an executive, and now he's a broadcaster. So it's all ass backwards. You understand?
I wouldn't say that. I think the John
John's
Shannon
barely smiling.
I think the John Shannon did great in his career, especially at the NHL.
Oh, again, the. You mean at NHL?
No, the NHL.
No, see, this is what we've got to do. We got to try and go a full hour without saying the word the.
Well, let's give it a shot.
There's no chance. We will fail in 15 seconds.
If Gallivan can do it, I think we could do it too. Who, by the way, Marv Albert, I years ago was talking to Marv Albert, and he was a huge Danny fan. Huge Danny fan.
By the way,
of course, you know, Marv was the voice of the New York Rangers. Says,
see, you failed already.
Why?
You just said the New York Rangers.
Well, I did, but that I didn't know that we were actually going to go with it.
Well, you just said to go with it. Let's try, and then you failed. I told you, 15 seconds. It was 12.
Well, there you go.
By the way, you can't see this, I guess, unless you're watching a TV. But Shannon is leaning back in his chair, pouting.
Is he really? Why?
Yeah. Well, I think because I insulted him about his miserable little career.
He's had a great career, and I look forward to the book. The book.
No, well,
in fact, maybe the book could be the title of it.
I think the only way Shannon writes a book is if it comes with crayons.
Oh, that's not fair.
Well, he doesn't want to write it. Maybe somebody else. Maybe you can get
have a ghost writer.
Have a ghost artist.
Yes.
Draw pictures, and then kids can color it. I'll color it.
I would actually be. I bought Bob Cole's book by the way the other day.
Oh, did you? Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm waiting for our first road trip, which is next week, and I'll crack it open and start reading it on the plane. But I'd actually be very interested in a book by John because he's had, you know, obviously a tremendous career.
Well, yeah.
You know, as an executive, and then also he's been, you know, in front of the camera as well. I think it would be actually good, and that's being serious. I'm not joking.
Yes, you are.
No, John. Okay, well, you caught me.
Yeah.
No, I would be. I would be interested. No,
I'm not writing a book.
I might be the only one, but I'm interested.
You're one of the seven. Yeah, you'd be one of the seven. And here's the problem, Matt. You can name the other six.
Well, true.
You know what your middle name is?
I do, actually.
What is it? Mrs. Kravitz is what your middle name
really?
Is.
Really?
Yeah. That's you. You are nosy beyond belief. You have you want to know all the details of every story of everything. That's what you spend your entire life doing, is sticking your nose in places where it doesn't belong.
When did the roast start? At 4:01? What is this, the Shannon roast? What is this?
Well, it's more entertaining than what you did yesterday. So... So as
you
Mrs.
Were here
Kravitz...
Too, you were here too
yeah,
yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was falling asleep. So... Mrs. Kravitz here has more stories, stuff that he tells you. I'm Devlin. I'm sure you've been encumbered by all this information over the years.
I have.
He knows everything that goes on.
Encumbered.
Everything that goes on. And all we want to do is put it in writing, right?
I think it's a good idea to put it in writing.
Oh, I think it'd be fantastic.
The first chapter could be about the, and the second chapter could be about his button-down shirts that he wears exclusively.
Thank you very much for noticing that.
Button-down shirts and Cardigans on Wednesdays.
Cardigan Wednesday was yesterday. Did anybody notice? It was the first one of the year.
I saw you had your cardigan on.
Yes, sir.
That's why I brought it up. Because I know it's kind of your
okay, so Matt, trademark. How is your basketball team?
Oh, they looked good last night, huh?
They did. You know, a couple of things. You know, number one, DeMar DeRozan. There is a chip on his shoulder with the Sports Illustrated article that came out, ranked him 46. Put up 40 last night. I thought he was dominant in the paint, and he started in the paint and then moved his game out to 10, 15 feet, got to the free throw line. He was tremendous. And then Jonas Valanciunas, there must be just something about going up against Andre Drummond in Detroit. His prior career high was 31 against the Pistons a year ago, and put up 32 last night. So those were the positives, along with Pascal Siakam, who, you know, had 9 rebounds and was extremely active, and you didn't have to run any plays for him and did exactly what you wanted to do in 20-plus minutes. But ultimately, you're going to need, you know, the three ball to go down for you, whether it's Carol Patterson and certainly Kyle Lowry, and those are things all to come.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned my newest stepson, because I've adopted Pascal Siakam.
Yes, yeah. I tell you what, I was speaking with Dwayne Casey, and this was back in training camp, and one of the names that he brought up in comparison, because we always like to compare players to other players, and he said Amir Johnson. He said, it reminds me a little bit of Amir in the sense that he'll run the floor, he'll just get a rebound, he'll, you know, do all the little things, and, you know, you can see some of that last night in his game, and, you know, for a 27th overall selection, I just like his energy, and that's what you need out of that position. There's enough shots to go around with the other players on the floor where you don't necessarily need him to take any shots. Just go get the rebound, get second chance opportunities. There are a couple of defensive assignments that he missed out on, but that's understandable.
Well, that's going to happen, right?
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, he was in earlier this week. It's the second time he's been in. I don't think I've ever had a player in studio twice that hadn't played a game yet in a professional league. But that being the case, I've now adopted him, as I said. And
well, I tell you what, if you know what, he actually, you know, he picked the right person and you picked the right person. And
so, oh, I love the guy.
He's a great kid.
Oh, he's a great kid. And I'll tell you, we talked a little bit. I don't know whether it was on air or off air. And I said, well, you know, it's coming up, man. Are you a little nervous? And he said, no, not really. He says, I know I'm going to make mistakes, but all I really want is a chance. And I bought it. You know, he really wasn't scared out there. He was, I don't think he's arrogant or overly self-confident, but I think he thinks he can play, right?
Absolutely. And the reality of it is that the team needs him to play. And when you keep it simple, Joe Maddon has a great saying, do simple better. When you keep it simple, you really can find your way within a team, because you know that Kyle, you know that DeMar, you know that Damari Carroll, you know Jonas Valanciunas, and that starting five are going to do what they do, and everybody knows what the four of those players can do. So then if you rebound, run the floor, get second chance opportunities, it does become simple, and you can really find your game within that. And I think that's what we saw last night, 4 points, 9 rebounds. You would take 6, 7, 8 rebounds every single night from the rookie.
Now, if Sullinger was healthy, would this be a discussion?
No, if Sullinger was healthy, you know, he more than likely would not have seen the minutes that he saw last night.
For sure.
And that's just the way it is, but we all know that in sport. I mean, look at Norman Powell, who really had a tremendous stretch in the postseason, specifically against Indiana. He had a great month and a half at the end of the season, put in a ton of work. But last night, because of the way Terrence Ross has played in the preseason, he did not see much time really up until, you know, the very end in the fourth quarter. And so those are things that are going to happen. It's also going to be based upon as great of a night as JV had last night, and he was dominant. You know, a lot of this, it's a matchup game. And so each night poses a different matchup in the NBA, and as we've seen before, this roster a year ago it certainly was, and it appears as though it's a case once again. It's a versatile lineup where Dwayne Casey can lean on different players on different nights to get what he needs out of the performance and to come away with a win.
You know, the most impressive thing for me about DeRozan's performance, I mean, he historically he is a volume shooter.
Yeah.
He rarely shoots over 50%. I mean, that's not that he doesn't. It happens occasionally, but he's a volume shooter. He shoots a lot and almost has to shoot a lot to get the points he got. But when he added it up at the end of the night, he was 17 for 27. I'll take that. Any player in the NBA will take that every single night.
Absolutely. A couple of things stand out to me. I talked to DeMar about it prior to the start of the game. I think he really understands where he can get his points now. If you look over the course of the last 3 years, going back 3 seasons ago, 33% of his shot attempts came in the paint. 2 seasons ago, it was just right around 39%. Last year, 50% of his shot attempts came in the paint. And that's not easy to live in there.
No.
But he understands where he needs to go to get his points to help this team win. And we saw it last night. He didn't come out and start 17 feet away.
Right.
He came out and went
right to the hoop.
Rim.
Yep.
Yeah. And so it's not easy to do that. You take on the burden of the physicality of the game when you decide to do it. But he certainly did, and he was extremely successful in doing it. And I agree with you. The efficiency of which he did last night, I thought it was just off the charts.
Yeah, really impressive.
So beyond the Raptors and obviously LeBron and the Cavs, is there anybody in the East that's going to surprise this year, Matt, that you say, you know what, we better make sure that we have to watch out for, say, the Celtics or someone out there that is going to challenge these two teams?
Well, I would say this, that, you know, one night doesn't make a season for the Toronto Raptors. You're going to see Cleveland tomorrow night. You're going to see Denver. They've been kind of a nemesis over the last year or so with all the lineups that they can, you know, toss at you. They have just a tremendous amount of length on the inside. But, you know, when you look at the Raptors, I do think that they're, you know, top three team in the Eastern Conference. I'm intrigued to see what happens in Boston. I'm intrigued to see what happens with Scott Brooks in Washington, and can that backcourt of John Wall and Bradley Beal, you know, finally put it together. You know, certainly down in Atlanta with Dwight Howard surrounded by some shooters and Dennis Schroeder taking over as a point guard will be interesting to watch. And then also Orlando as well. But there's a team out there that's not getting much publicity that I think could quite possibly be a team that you have to look out for, and that's Indiana. I really like Indiana, Nate McMillan, you know, coming in, taking over for Frank Vogel. And then Miles Turner had a huge night the other night. So there are some teams out there. It's not just a one-team race. I mean, I think everybody agrees that Cleveland is, you know, far and away, you know, that team that's out there. But, you know, for the Raptors, I do believe they're a top-three team in the Eastern Conference. But it'll be interesting to see how all that unfolds given, you know, the injuries that they've sustained already, and that's with Sullinger and Nogueira.
Well, Indiana should be no surprise to any Toronto fan. We saw enough of them in the seven-game series last year. I mean,
you're right, and we saw a lot of Miles Turner, who, you know, played, you know, at a high level at times last year in that series, and then, of course, they have Paul George, who, you know, was, I thought, in that series really showed, you know, that he's on the cusp of being, you know, a franchise player.
Let's face it. Last year there was a group of haves in the East, and a ton of a huge group of have-nots.
Right.
But that has changed a little bit, hasn't it?
I think that it has, and I do believe that teams in the East have gotten better. I think that it was proven by the fact that last season Detroit. Now remember, Detroit didn't have Reggie Jackson. Left knee tendonitis, and that's certainly a factor because he, you know, is a high-end, you know, point guard. You know, they won 44 games last year, and they were the eighth seed. And as all three of us know, there were times, many years, in fact, that if you won 38 to 40 games in the Eastern Conference, you could find your way into the postseason.
That's
that
right.
Wasn't the case last year. I don't think it'll be the case this year either.
A lot of people think Boston is the second-best team in the East, that they will pass the Toronto Raptors. I find that a little surprising. Do you buy into that? Do you think the Celtics could elevate their game sufficiently to, you know, be the second-best team in the East?
I don't think so, not yet. However, they will get after you defensively. I do like the addition of Al Horford. The thing that's going to be interesting, Danny Ainge still has a lot of draft choices, a lot of picks to play with. And do they go out and decide to make a move? Do they go get a DeMarcus Cousins in Sacramento? That's certainly been something that's been a rumor. Do they go out and bring somebody in? They have the draft picks to do that, and they have some pieces as far as contracts are concerned to do that. So that would be the one thing to kind of keep an eye on with them, but I don't think that they've elevated to that stature as of yet.
No, I agree with you. I find it quite surprising that the Raptors are being dismissed, essentially, in the Eastern Conference.
I'm always amazed at how patient Ainge has been with his coach.
With Brad Stevens?
Yeah.
Well, I've talked to Danny about Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens has done a superb job of transitioning from college to the NBA. And I think that he is, you know, one of, you know, the high-end coaches out there. I've talked to Amir Johnson. I've talked to Gerald Wallace back in the day, veteran players that have been around, have been coached by a lot of different individuals. And they both speak very highly of him and the way he handles his roster. I think that Danny Ainge understands that he continually has given him a revolving door, essentially, of a roster each and every year. And I think that he believes that Brad's maximized it, and I would agree with that.
Yeah, I guess my point is that since he came out of Butler, that there was a lot of people that thought he would be a lot quicker at being successful. And how many coaches come out of college, and if they don't do
it,
we
didn't
have
a team though, John.
No, but yeah. If they don't do it in the first 2.5 years,
yeah, usually, you know, they don't, boom, get, yeah,
you
they
don't
usually
get this
don't get
long,
a chance.
You don't get this,
yeah,
extra,
that's
chance.
True. Yeah.
Well, I think that they have a great working relationship, number one, and I think continuity says a lot. Mm-hmm. And you can think about this. Dwayne Casey is the second longest tenured coach in the Eastern Conference, and then fourth in the NBA.
Yeah.
And so continuity of your roster, continuity with your executives, continuity with your coaching, I think is, you know, one of the keys. I mean, you, John, you know in the NHL, you know, they change things over. I mean, look at Pittsburgh, right? You know, you're not going to change over a 25-man roster. Let's change the head coach. Let's change things immediately. And there was a time in the NBA where that, you know, happened quite often. But I think a lot of people understand, specifically with the success that San Antonio has had, that sometimes it's not about the coach. Sometimes it's about getting the right, you know, players in place in order to make an impact.
So far, so good. Cleveland is next, right?
Cleveland is next tomorrow night on Sportsnet 1, and certainly the Cavaliers were dominant the other night. Ring ceremonies are a scary thing for coaches, as we all know, mm-hmm. But boy, did LeBron James handle it properly.
Apparently, they weren't distracted by Game 1 of the World Series either.
No, and they were not distracted by the size of their rings either.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, those were
ridiculous.
They were nice. Those were nice.
Where are you going to wear that?
It would be a bracelet for you.
You'd
Matt.
Never be able to lift your arm above your waist.
Hey, look at LeBron was wearing it at the...
I know, the ball game last night.
Yes, he was.
I saw it, yeah. I saw it.
It was one
guys
of the,
15 miles away saw it. In Richfield, they saw it.
It added extra lights there to Progressive Field.
Devlin, nice job, and we'll talk to you again soon. Have a good call tomorrow night.
Hey, I appreciate it. Always great to be on with the Bob and the John.